Yes, certainly. Commissioner Jensen?
Here.
Vice Chairman Tuttle?
Here.
Commissioner Coonan? Chairman Christensen? Commissioner Stanger?
Here.
Commissioner Bull?
Here.
Commissioner Dirksen?
So comments from citizens? David, did you think people were coming or?
They were either going to come tonight or 28. And so there should be two letters available to you.
Right, on the back of the packet?
Yes.
I don't know where it is, but one of them came in last Friday, so those would be the individuals I would expect to come either tonight or the meeting on 28.
Okay.
And since.
Well, since nobody's here.
Since the 28th, we're talking about downtown again, I think that's probably what they're kind of seeing.
Okay. Since nobody's here, then we can move on to the approval of minutes. Everybody get to look at them? And if so, looking for a motion?
A motion for 12 cents.
Let's see. February 8th.
I'm trying to remember what the edits were that we sent back. I think it was just that change that says minutes were reviewed and sent back for revisions.
Oh, for that?
For the previous.
Right.
Okay.
Ed, right.
So I have the motion to accept.
Okay, we have a motion. From Commissioner Bull. Move to approve the minutes from February, I lost the date, 8th. And Commissioner Jensen has seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Approved. Do I count?
Yes, you have to vote.
Okay, well.
There's only four of us, you have to.
Not voting is a vote in the affirmative, so 4-0. All right, and so we have the minutes from February 22nd. Looking for a motion to approve?
I move that we accept the minutes of February 22nd.
Okay, Commissioner Stanger? Stanger, sorry.
Yeah, that's good.
I have a thing in my throat, Jake. Has moved to approve the minutes from February 22nd. Do I have a second?
Second.
Commissioner Bull seconds. All those in favor?
Aye.
Approved, 4-0. Those are the only two, right? And are these the two I need to sign?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so. I guess we are just moving on to new business for the code amendment impact fee deferral. Thank you.
That is me. And so thank you everyone for being here because as you can tell, your attendance is essential. And this could be quick or this could be long because there's actually a code amendment.
Can we vote on that?
Yeah.
In 2 hours, we can vote on that.
Depends how many questions you have, because I can get through this, or we might be able to get through this fairly quickly. So the reason why this is on your agenda and it's a separate agenda item, this is one of those you have to do type code amendments and we have to do this year. And we have to have a deadline by, well, we don't have to have a deadline, but the state set a deadline on September 1, 2016 for us and other local governments that assess impact fees for development to have an ordinance in place by that time and does certain things, and I'll go through what the certain things are. But impact fees are fees that are collected by the city in association with development activity to pay for the cost of growth. So here at the city of Monroe, we assess impact fees for transportation, and impact fees for parks and recreation, and impact fees for schools, although for schools, we're basically assessing the impact fee on behalf of the school districts. Under the growth management, and this does not cover water or sewer fees, and under the growth management act, impact fees, basically, you can assess them for schools, transportation, parks, and fire, if you have your own fire department. We don't have our own fire department, we have a fire district. So those are the four items that the law allows us to assess impact fees for. We look at three of them. As you know, we went through the Great Recession, and development activity was basically, residential development activity was basically stymied. And they came to a grinding halt, and local governments were doing anything they could to keep projects alive and to allow for residential development. And one of the concepts that emerged out of during the Great Recession and kind of continued after that was a push by the building industry to defer impact fees or require the local governments to defer impact fees. And the intent of that is that basically, in most cases, impact fees are assessed at the time we issue the building permit. So you come in, you pick up your residential building permit, and for some cases it's commercial building permits because traffic impact fees apply to commercial development. And the time you pick up your building permit and walk out the door, you gotta write a check to pay for that traffic, park, or school impact fee if it applies. And what happened during the recession, according to the building industry, is that it became very, very difficult for builders, especially small builders, to get loans for impact fees. And so the building industry really pushed for a deferral concept. So rather than local governments collecting impact fees at the time the building permit goes out the door, a person wouldn't have to pay the impact fee until the property either sold or at the time it was final inspection. And final inspection is when the city goes out, looks at the house and says, okay, it's ready to be occupied. So the idea is if you push the time that the developer has to pay the impact fee to a later time period, then they can sell the house and use the proceeds of collecting from the house to pay the impact fee. It wasn't something they'd have to carry as part of their loan package for 6 to 9 months or however long. So in the legislature, I forgot how many years this was going on. I mean, it was like the building industry kept pushing for this. Local governments generally opposed it, not all of them, and the school districts generally opposed it because they'd rather have the money up front at the time of the building permit so that if growth is coming along and we need to order more portables, I get the money at the time of the building permit and I have time to go out and maybe order more portables. And it may take me 3 to 6 months before I can actually get the portable ordered and permitted to go on a site. And hopefully by the time 6 months comes along, then the homes will be complete and you'll have room for people to come into the portables. And if the school district are saying, well, if I have to wait, if we don't get the money until the time the house has been approved to be occupied or the time the house has actually been sold, well, then that's too late because the people will go right into the house the minute it's sold. Then we get the impact fee, we got new students coming in, and I don't have the time now for new portables or anything like that if I have to. So there's a little bit of tension going on between the school districts and local governments and the development community throughout this entire process. So this went from the legislature to the legislature several years, I forgot how many years back. And in 2013, I believe, there was actually a bill passed by the legislature and the governor vetoed it. And that would require deferral, local governments have some type of deferral system. And it wasn't until last year, 2015, a bill actually passed and was signed by the governor. And it requires the local governments that assess impact fees to have an ordinance in place that gives the developer the option. They don't have to do it, they have the option of paying their impact fee at a later time. And so we have until September 1st of this year to get something in place. So this is one of those you have to do. So, just going to hit on a couple highlights of the of what we need to think about. And the council's actually kind of walked their way through this a little bit, and they've given staff some preliminary direction to do an ordinance for you to consider, recognizing that by the time it works its way through the process, council can change its mind too. But the key things is that we, and this applies only to single family developments. Doesn't include multifamily, doesn't include commercial development. The idea here is to facilitate the development of single-family residential development. And so any other type of development, they have to pay their impact fee at the time they pick up the building permit. But what we have to do is give developers of single-family homes the option of deferring the payment of impact fees to either the time of final inspection or the issuance of a certificate of occupancy for the single-family dwelling, or at the time closing of the first sale of the property. Now here, final inspection and issuance of a certificate of occupancy for a single-family home is basically at the same time. And that's when our building inspector goes out there and says, okay, you meet all the requirements to allow this place to be occupied, you're good to go. You can occupy it. Closing of the first sale typically will happen a little later. Now the way the housing market is right now, sometimes the home is already bought before an inspector even goes out there and says, okay, it's good to go. But closing of the first sale typically would occur after that. Sometimes it could occur like right after that. Sometimes if I build a house and it just kind of sits there 2-3 months and doesn't sell until 2-3 months later, at that point in time, the developer would have to sell or have to pay the impact fee for the dwelling. And in no instance, according to this law, can it be longer than 18 months after the building permit is issued. So, go ahead.
I just want to be clear. Is it that we have to do an ordinance where the builder picks one of these, or is it we pick one of these for our ordinance?
I was actually thinking you could do a combination, but I don't think we want to do that.
Okay, but I'm just clear.
Yeah.
What is the state thing mandating? We pick one of these into our ordinance and that's what it is? Or do we make an ordinance that gives the builder the opportunity to pick whichever way they want to defer?
Well, if you read the law, it says the deferral system offered by a county, city, or town under this subsection must include one or more of the following options. And so then it lists the three options. So the way I read the law, then you could do one of three or combinations, but for us it would just be a nightmare trying to keep track.
One of the three is pay now, right?
No.
No, one of the three is
three deferral times.
Yeah. So those are.
Oh, but our final inspection and certificate of occupancy are pretty much the same.
Yeah, so really there's two choices. I mean, I say either final inspection or closing of the first sale. But if I'm a developer, I don't have to do either one. I can just pay like I normally do right at the time of the building permit issue.
You don't have to defer. We're not forcing people to defer.
And so kind of the first issue is, all right, which one of those, I'll just say two, do you want to choose? And then, interestingly, I think part of the reason the governor signed this is that there's a cap that says any applicant cannot get more than 20 deferrals in a calendar year on an annual basis. But the local government can increase that. So then the second question is, well, do you want to allow a developer to come in and have more than 20 deferrals in a year? And part of the reason for that cap, I think, was to satisfy the school districts to some extent, so that you wouldn't have unlimited number of deferrals going on in your community. So, and then that one gets a little more interesting because what it says is if you're a local government and you decide to go, well, basically what it says is you have to consult with the school districts on that particular issue. And if the school districts say cap only 20, and you decide to do something greater than 20, you have to give a written explanation to the school district why you did that in the book. 20, their recommendation. So it's kind of an interesting way that this is all set up. But really, in terms of walking the council through this and to get some preliminary direction for an ordinance, they're looking at final inspection and putting the cap on 20. Now,
part is that per unit or is that the... If a development has more than 20 houses.
It's per applicant. And you know what that means? The way that the definition of applicant in here is written on purpose, it's really, really broad. So
take one of the new homes. Let's say one of the new home subdivisions going on up there by foot.
Yeah, well, Well, let's just let's go by.
You have more than 20, right?
Right. So let's just say I'm Commissioner Jensen's a home builder. And he does a plat of 100 lots over here, and it's called Jensen Homes LLC.
But does that count as one, or does that count as 100?
Well, it's 100 right now.
Okay.
And you're so busy that you go out and do another plat, and you call that plat Steve Plat LLC. The definition of applicant is so broad.
You get 20 for each, probably.
No, you only get 20 total.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
The idea isn't to let someone come in and create different LLCs and get 20 on all these different LLCs. So it's written pretty tight.
You think they want to because they make more money every time they open an LLC?
Typically, builders will have at least our builders, they have an LLC for each development.
So they can't do that.
So the money's all
each development can't have 20 if their total developer gets.
Yeah, if you can track the owners of the LLC pack thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes it's a little tricky.
That'd be kind of interesting how to enforce that.
I could see some gray area is not the right word.
I suppose the way to enforce it is you just don't grant it.
Yeah.
You don't grant it.
A lot of our LLCs, they're layers. They're like five layers of LLCs to get to.
So you wouldn't really know who the if the my point is that regardless of whether you limit it or not, it would still be hard to enforce because you wouldn't know who if they're the same group, right?
Yeah,
it's difficult.
It's
yeah. Who would even do that?
Our underwriter goes through this the work to look road chart together to find out who is ultimately going to be the guarantor. But it takes some work and it's I don't think it's an effective use of planning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we don't have to. We don't have to cap it down.
No. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So then, Steve comes in for a building permit on one of his homes he wants to build. He's also going to be responsible for putting a lien on the property and granting the city. So the city will have a lien on the property, so that if he doesn't pay it in 18 months, we can go recover it. Recover the funds, and then but if he's does his, what he's supposed to do, builds the home and pays the impact fee at the time of final inspection or first sale of the property, then he has to remove, he's responsible for removing the lien too. So it's like every property that goes for referral is going to have a lien on it. And so the city can hopefully be made whole, even though in a worst case scenario, we might have to go to court to recover that. But there'll be a lien. And it's going to be Steve's responsibility as a builder to, it'll be lien language that we want, but to have that lien placed on the property and have it removed.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
The lien is just for the fees, so it doesn't cover your attorney fees for collection.
Right.
Yeah, so that's.
And that was always a concern on the part of local governments is that, if things are really bad, we've got a whole bunch of homes out there. How do we collect the impact fees? And depending on your opinion, if we go through another Great Recession or something even comparable to that, that's going to be the least of our problems in terms of trying to find, collect the impact fees. But that's a possibility. But the idea is that the lien is supposed to protect that.
So just one more thing. My employer is a member of Master Builders Association, and I read in Attachment 3 their statement here. I don't believe that is a true statement. I pulled up one of our draw sheets. So we have, when we lend money to a contractor who's building, single-family homes, there's a draw sheet, and it has a list of almost 50 items on this sheet for the budget. And so, somebody from my institution will go out and do an inspection, if the drywall's done, they need a certain amount of this budget. The mitigation fees are number 2 on here, just after architect and engineering fees.
Mm-hmm.
So it gets dispersed first. It is the first draw, is the mitigation fees. So their statement here saying that, the financial institutions don't lend on these fees, it's just not true. Because it's the second item on this budget, and it gets paid first. So what happened in the recession was that development took a little while longer because they weren't selling homes.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the money got used up by the interest reserve. And so they were out of money before they got the mitigation fees paid. So it wasn't that the bank didn't have it, you know, as part of the budget for that particular house and development. It's just that it might have got reallocated somewhere else. So that's why I'm saying I don't think this is a true statement. I think all the banks have that in their budget, the money that they're going to allow the contractor to have.
Okay, so I think.
And they don't pay, they don't start making payments on it for a while, right?
The way construction loans work, it's just an interest-only loan, and there's a interest fund that the interest gets paid out of, and it's not out of pocket. The builder will have to come up with, he has to have some cash in the project, which is typically the acquisition cost of the lot. But, you know, it's maybe 10% of the total value of the hard cost of the purchase of the lot and all the construction of it.
If the deferment, or if the impact fees were deferred, the amount of money they would have to borrow is less, though, is that right?
Could be.
Almost no, though, because
it depends on how we defer it.
If we defer it based off what the council wants, final inspection, then that would have to be included in that, right?
But they
can't. It would just be paid last.
Oh, yeah.
Paid last.
But the home could be sold before the final
could
inspection.
Could be, but.
Well, but, often.
Yeah. Let's see. Who's in the first sale? Sold and closed, they would have to pay for the final inspection.
Yeah, they would. Anyway, I'm just, whether, to me it's kind of interesting because based off what we're learning here, if we do it at final inspection, if you do it after the sale, then it wouldn't need to be in there, right?
But maximum 18
months,
right?
If the deferral is after the sale, then it would need to be part of the construction loan.
It wouldn't?
Wouldn't.
But what I'm saying is the bank wants to know how much money this contractor is going to make on this deal.
Yeah. And that would take that into account.
They have to make a 15 to 20% profit margin for a, you know, for a house to be profitable. And so we want to know all of the costs that are going to go into it, and then what the net at the end isn't enough for them to stay in business, then they want to lend money.
It's part of the approval.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So yeah, even if it's not part of the loan,
so
the bank
so
still want to see that number as part of the calculation.
Yes,
really not helping.
Because I don't know what the City of Monroe, I deleted the confidential information. This is a $585,000 house, and the mitigation fees, permits and mitigation, $17,500. So it's a big number, and it has to be included in the overall profitability.
Whether it's done at the beginning or at the sale, that's part of the net. Interesting.
So for the financing part, I did that on the other side. The thing that came up for me when we discussed school mitigation fees a couple years ago is we call them mitigation fees and impact fees. So if you call it an impact fee, or what are you mitigating? It's supposed to be paying towards the impact that you're having. If it's an empty house, it's not having an impact on the parks. You're not putting more kids in the parks, you're not putting more kids in the schools. So the fees are so high, and I remember seeing that on the news, that a lot of builders were feeling like the impact fees were prohibiting them from being able to build. So,
but that's a reduction in the fee, not when you pay it. It sounds like, right? To what we're
kind of, about. But what I'm just saying is, the fees were created not to just so the city can make an income off of every house that's built. It's supposed to be to mitigate the impact that these new residents are going to have, and you know, every house that is sold, that they're going to have kids and they're going to school. Every, you know, that's a thing too. Not every house has kids that use the park. So there's transportation, but. You know,
yeah, you just have to assume that they will.
You're assuming that it's going to be max capacity.
Worst case.
I personally wouldn't have an issue with having the fee deferred until the home sale, but there is a max time of 18 months, so it's not that if the house never sells, the city never collects the fees. That's my initial That's my initial thought on it, not set in stone, but.
Yeah, so based off of what I'm hearing, I would be inclined to, because it has to be part of the loan and also it's part of the criteria in order to actually get a loan. It seems like to me then it doesn't really matter when it's paid. It has to be paid at some point.
They have to estimate it.
Right, so it's all part of the.
They have to count on it.
They have to count on it. So I would then err on the side of the city and the school district.
You figure they're gonna have the money anyway?
Yeah, then we might as well make sure we mitigate the impact to the schools. So that I would say we should err on the side of them paying it as soon as possible.
I don't agree that every four-bedroom house is gonna have two kids going to school in it. That's my.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go see so. Oh, sorry, I was supposed to say.
Couple of points. One is, as I read through some of this, I kind of drew my thoughts of what I felt might be my choice before reading the comments here from the stakeholders. And I thought it was interesting that the majority of these, they went to Master Builders Association. They're the only one, in fact, that was more partial to the fee at closing. Others were either at final inspection, and many of the developers, half the developers here, they're like, we don't care, we're just going to be paying up front anyway.
Yeah.
Because they didn't want to be saddled with the lien.
Yes.
Or
yes.
Have potential buyers, when they do the title search, say, oh, there's a lien on that property.
That yeah. Makes sense.
So it's almost like we're going through all this motion, and I would be surprised if even 5% of the builders out there wouldn't bother. Maybe an individual builder building one home, maybe, because it might be a big deal to them, but these other builders, they've got so much money coming and
yeah.
Going and flowing through their system, it's just like, whatever. The other point I had was, I don't know if it's something you said or something I read in one of the letters about, and I think it applies not just to schools, but to parks and things. You don't know who's going to move in. And if once they buy and move in, oh, they got four kids, it's a little late to be saying, oh, we got this money, let's go do some expansion of the school, or let's add more facilities at the park. The kids are already there. So I can see the point of the sooner you get the money, you can be planning and spending prepared so that when the families do move in, you're ready for it.
Mm-hmm. For the schools, it's just capital facilities.
Yeah. The last point I had was if a builder, I mean, I realize that ultimately it's always paid by the buyer. But it's just buried into the cost. So the buyer doesn't see it. We're in a society today where we are presented with fees everywhere. And if it's done at the time of closing, what's going to happen is it's still going to be paid by the buyer, but now the buyer's going to see it in a line item at closing, such and such fee. It's going to be spelled out right in front of them. It may not always be, but I can see builders sort of saying, this house only costs $300,000, and then you get down, oh, but you didn't, plus fees, and you don't realize there's a $20,000 fee on there. I don't know, but I can see some situations developing where buyers are suddenly just, where originally was kind of just hidden in the cost, you didn't really think about it, now buyers are being faced with, oh, it's more fees, more government fees, and more disgust and disappointment on the side of the buyers, even though it's no change in dollar amount, it's more a perception that could be pushed to the buyer more blatantly. That's my concern, really, is I would rather it continue to just be a hidden cost that buyers don't really think about. It's just there.
Commissioner,
go ahead. When we think of these mitigation fees, it's for the life of the useful life of the structure. Because
mm-hmm.
that's, you know, if it's the child that scuffled and moves in, that's, and then they flip it in 2 years and then, you know, it's, you know, six person family. I mean, we have to think of the entire useful, because the road has to be wider, whatever's, the school has to be added on to whatever. It's got to be through the useful life instruction, right?
Right.
I think it's even beyond that, isn't it? If you replace it within a certain period of time, you don't have to renew the fees, do you?
You know, I'll have to look. I mean, if the house burned down and you rebuilt it, I think within a certain period of time, you may not have to. That's going to be a rare exception if something like that happens.
Okay.
Let me just hit on a few things. One, I wish I should have brought them. I think the parks impact fee is maybe about 1,700 a dwelling unit. Transportation, a single family home, I'm just guessing right now, about 2,500. The school impact fee right now is zero. So that 17,000, some of it's like utilities, water, sewer, and things like that, but the actual impact fees right now, because they change over time, is probably 4,000 plus.
Why is the school zero? I thought that was only commercial.
No, that's because of the attendance.
Yeah.
Attendance is down.
You can't justify the need for the facilities, and then you should be charging the impact fees.
Okay.
So there might be like water and sewer, some other things on there.
Down at number 40 is utility connect.
Yeah, that's not part of the impact fee.
Yeah, because the permits and the mitigation impact fees are up.
The permit fees are probably about plan review, and for house that size, probably run about 4,500.
Mm-hmm. So you're going to have them two different kinds of fees now. Where you used to have just one impact at the beginning, now you're going to leave water and everything else in at the beginning.
Except for
these four.
There is three.
Or three?
Yeah, and all the threes, the fee isn't going to change. It's just a matter of what we collect the money.
Yeah, okay.
And that's what you said, the sewer hookup's different.
Yeah, sewer, that's not part of this. That's not part of the state law saying you have to defer. So, and then two, actually the way the law reads, if it's at the time of closing of the first sale, the money comes out of the seller's proceeds.
Well, it does, but it can still be presented to the buyer as a line item. Because all that money is still going, the seller's proceeds is just at the bottom. They get so much money, and it's a...
Right, but the seller's going to have to write the check. I know what you're saying, though. It's probably embedded into the cost of the house.
It can be embedded so the sellers can make it sound like their houses cost less plus fees. Just like the airlines adding low airfare plus fees. It just turns into, the whole industry turns into that.
Somebody's going to want a loan on this house when they're buying it, and their lender's going to tell them, here's, mm-hmm. So they're going to know.
They're going to know.
The cost is the cost. There's no surprise cost.
I actually remember seeing the fees and everything.
Oh, yeah, it's on your.
I'm just saying, it'll just be an extra line. You see, there's like more fees. You know, pay the same, because I don't want to see the fees. Let's just take it. I don't want to see it.
And if you're moving into North Shore, you're happy to pay this more fee, right? That's why you're moving to North Shore.
Right, for the schools. But the school impact fee is different. It can be set aside because the school doesn't have to charge an impact fee either. They can choose to waive fees. So the city fees are one thing, and the school impact fees, even though we collect them all together, it's kind of like a tax for the district. We just hold it and then give it to them. I don't know why that's a thing that the city has to do anyway, but seems like the school district should collect their own impact fees.
Let's see. Process. Okay, so we'll go through this process. We're going to invite all the stakeholders, the school district, master builders, developers. So when you start considering this, you're going to have people here. And then, well, hopefully they'll show up.
They'll be a hard press for collecting up
front. And actually, it's great to have someone who's involved in this industry. So good. But what I'm hearing is what I'm hearing from different sources, but not necessarily small builders. What they're saying is this legislation is really going to help the smaller builders. So what they're saying is the smaller builders aren't the ones that can get the loans. And I don't know if that's true or not.
We have a guy that's building up off of Old Owen, right on Old Owen. He builds two houses a year. That's small.
Yeah.
It's just him.
Yeah.
So
he has to go through the same process.
Yeah, I mean, he's down here doing all his own permitting and everything, and I mean, he just comes to us for a loan twice a year.
He couldn't get it waived, the impact fees, as part of it, because it has to be taken into consideration as part of the profit that he makes.
Yep.
Yeah, so what you're really saying is it doesn't matter.
The law doesn't matter.
They already have the money.
The law doesn't matter, yeah.
They already have the money, it's part of their loan package.
Yep, or else they wouldn't get the loan, period. Because you have to have, you know, that gross profit.
Unless he can somehow figure out how to reduce his cost by $17,000.
That's what I was wondering.
That's the only way that he could do it.
And most, that's not usually the way building goes.
Yeah.
Under budget.
Yeah.
So we don't really have to, we just need to kind of pick one, and it's just, it's something we need to have on the books, it's not really a meaningful policy.
Yeah, we'll have the ordinance coming forward to you, kind of reflecting the initial council direction. A few other things.
I have one question.
Go ahead.
If a, not so much a builder, like, you know, investor, builder, but, you know, that's their business, an individual goes out, buys a property for themselves, and they build their home on it, and they move in and live there. If we've selected option three, then the sale won't happen. It'd probably have to hit that 18-month mark then, because they aren't selling it to somebody else, they're just occupying it and moving in.
Well, they kind of do sell it though, right? Because they do just...
Well, they bought the property.
It's two separate things. Another construction loan and then the mortgage are two separate things.
Well, it would be a custom construction loan and then it would be refinanced into a regular conventional mortgage. But it's not a sale. Not a sale.
But then they're refinanced.
But he would have to, that particular division would have to request a deferral, otherwise he'd be paying this.
Right, as I said, that individual says, hey, I want to defer this. They do the lien, but it's on their own property, so they're not worried about the lien, and then they defer it, they get the permit, build it, inspect it, occupy, move in. They're done.
So probably, yeah, occupancy and inspection is probably the best time for us to choose.
Yeah, probably.
I think it'd be less
for them,
for the city too,
for that.
City's going through this process of inspection stuff, and it's just easy to just make it part of that process.
It just makes it more difficult for... Because if that's probably a less common scenario, and
right,
now you're, and now you're impacting the schools more in favor of
the schools
less
aren't collecting
right.
The schools
but they
will. They will, but it's not for another few years.
Right.
You know, they're already in the process of rebuilding every school in the district. So for them to say that they are going to need to call in portables at this point is a little ridiculous. It's supposed to be part of the plan of expansion that we're in right now with the bond. Yeah.
Well, there you go.
And how often does this have to, once we set the ordinance, how, is it forever? Is there a...
No, you can always change ordinances.
Yeah. So if something, if we have a huge influx and the deferment thing isn't working for the school, then they can bring it up again then.
So I guess if you're going to have a deferment, just make it as far out as you can. Based on what I'm hearing.
I think
honestly,
the,
make it as
I
little
think
as
the
you
occupancy.
Because they're going to probably take the, not the, most of them aren't going to take the deferral, except in the case of
the little individual
who's building their own home.
Now, did I hear that other neighboring communities have already set these things in place?
Well, yes and no. I mean... Marysville has one in place, and I think they tied the final inspection. Snohomish County actually had one during the recession, but it sunset in 2012, so they're going through the same process again. And they tied it to closing, and then they said the program was available for about 3 to 4 years, and four homes took advantage of it. And I don't know if that's just there's only four homes that got built, or
so make it closing then, make it as far as possible. It's just for that one anomaly case when it would really make a difference.
Well, yeah. So the idea is we're going to bring an ordinance before you, and you'll take testimony, and then you can make the recommendation.
Sure.
But I mean, I'll tell you
but
from a staff standpoint.
Sure, we might get some more information.
Yeah. And then I know some other cities have had it. I think Kirkland has it. I think theirs is tied to final inspection. And I know it's during the recession, but I thought I read something that over 100 homes built during a time period when they were assessing it and assessing its success, and that maybe about 10 to 20 homes took advantage of it, 10-15%. You just don't know. I mean, but if you look through the matrix that we put together, keep in mind there's actually two school districts in the city of Monroe. And talk to some Homer school district, and they said final inspection, and it should be capped at 20. The Monroe school district wrote a letter that's in your packet, and they said final inspection, and then they said let's have a discussion about the number. And I've been going back and forth with emails and phone calls and things like that, and they just haven't gotten back to me to set up a meeting and have a conversation about the number, the cap. So that's still out there. The master builders, they prefer as far back in the process as possible. And they're going to contact their membership for feedback about the 20 cap or not the 20 cap. But we went ahead and already talked to like at least four builders that are doing some pretty substantial developments, have already done it, or will be doing it. And I think Commissioner Jensen probably summarized it pretty good. I mean, basically, they said it's probably better for the smaller builder, but for them to go out and the lien on every property and then to have to remove the lien and to keep track of it, for them it's paperwork exercise also. And at least one said it's going to cost them more, probably having to hire another employee if they did it to all the different jurisdictions.
But that's good because that means they would only do it if they really needed to do it.
Yeah, so
and if it really is limited, if the ones that really need it are the small builders, they are going to need more than 20. So I don't see any reason to raise the cap above 20.
Well, yeah, it's probably a good point, because then the bigger builders aren't going to use it, and the smaller builders are so small they're not going to get to 20.
Yeah,
it's irrelevant.
Yeah.
Leave it just at whatever the state law is.
The only reason I would favor that, we might want to consider. If it really is a toss-up between inspection or closing, is maybe to try to be similar with the surrounding community so that there's less variables. So if everybody just knows maybe all of the Homer County is all this way, if it does something,
that's it. The banks are probably like that.
Yeah, that would be my idea.
You guys don't care.
We don't care. I mean,
you're just kidding.
It's in the check. They've already have a check. I mean, this thing.
It's already kind of.
It's already part of the. They already have the check for the permits.
When it's ready, it doesn't matter.
So, I mean, but you don't want to defer it too long, because if the recession hits in 6 months and then it becomes a bank owned property, who's going to pay that impact fee? The bank.
That's what
the bank won't pay it.
Well, no, I mean we'll have to. Because
that's what leads me to the final.
The final inspection. Yes, you will. Yeah.
That's what leads me to the final inspection side. Is it's at least early enough that if there's get that fee before it could potentially languish on the market for some period of time.
Yeah. So the law says if the impact fee is not paid in accordance with the deferral. County, city, or county institute foreclosure proceedings.
It is only. So it'd have to get paid at a short sale or.
You guys really wouldn't have to pay it until a short sale, unless they decide to go after you, the bank, and go collect it. Because you're the owner.
Okay.
Anyway, let's hope that doesn't happen.
And then the local government has the ability, so we can amend our fee schedule. So if someone wants to go through the deferral process, we can amend our fee schedule to have an administrative fee for somebody who wants to defer their
impact. Oh, you can charge them more.
Yeah, charge it even more.
A reasonable fee. And I checked around in most other places, and, well, not most other places, two places. So I checked around with two places that, because not everyone does this. So their fees probably range around $200 to $250 each. So if I wasn't going to do 20 a year times 250 is something. 4 times 5 is about $5,000 something. Which is why I think some of the bigger builders are just saying, okay, I got to pay an administrative fee, I got to pay a fee to put put a lien on the property.
The interest to pay it upfront is cheaper than
you just pay it off, and then you gotta keep track of all the 20 out of our remaining building.
Yeah, so there's a little bonus for paying it upfront. There's a little less headache, and but if you really need it, and then you have to go through the headache of going through the process.
But it'll be interesting because I've heard from at least a couple bigger builders saying no, but it might really help some of the smaller builders. So I don't know what they'll say. We'll see if we get agreement to speak. And the problem is I can't find a lot of smaller builders around here. You know, the person that comes in and does maybe 4 or 5 years. So I'll see if I can find some. That's why we're reaching out to the master builders.
One that does 2 a year.
2 a year, yeah. Built in snow machine. I'll give you his name and everything confidentially.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay, yeah.
Just put it on the record.
Or you can even talk.
Yeah, you can talk. I'm just, this is legislative. So
his thoughts are.
So there's nothing keeping me from just inviting people and say, hey, like, you should give some information to the problem. Okay.
So we're not going to have a public hearing on it for 2 months.
Well, actually, I think we might be able to do it sooner, because they, but...
That's about in 2 weeks, let's get this done and out of our way.
Oh, because I have to write the ordinance. And then there's going to be something I'm going to say under the report.
Just copy one from another community and just
add that to your...
Actually, I was kind of doing that.
Yeah.
So it's actually not that difficult. It's because you pretty much borrow from Marysville, where they just tied to final inspection. The number of deferrals.
And then just double their fee.
Yeah, we'll probably have to copy the definition of applicant from state law.
Yeah.
Because it's very broad. I mean, it tries to cover that situation where one person creates a bunch of LLCs and gets 120 rather than 20. But I was beginning to think about this, and I'm not sure it's going to be much more than that to put the ordinance together.
I'm done. Good.
So like I said, this is one of those you have to do. That's why I just...
Good comments, actually. It's great.
It's good to think out
loud.
Yeah. Yeah, I really do appreciate the comments. I appreciate someone that's in the lending industry, too. But yeah, we'll gather up. Don't be surprised if some of the bigger builders don't show up, but I think the master builders will be here. The school districts will be here.
The school district will be here, and I will say, just the impact fees for the schools go to capital facilities. They can't be used for desks, they can't be used for classroom supplies, they can't be used for any of that stuff. They can only go
brick and mortar.
Yes. So, anyway.
Yep.
And we already, for schools, it's a common practice that we don't even collect the full amount of the impact fee. We only collect like 50% or 75%. Can't remember what we landed on here a few years ago when that was the...
Well, probably 75.
I think it was
maybe
50.
25, I don't know.
But, and it was a big deal. But everybody from the school district was here crying about the money and...
Right.
Capital facilities used to be supported by the logging industry until the 80s when we invented saving the spotted owl and the logging industry failed, and that's when we came up with impact fees for schools. So
yeah, the same is true for traffic and parks. I mean, it's the idea is you spend it for capacity improvements for growth, you don't spend it for maintenance of existing facilities. So the idea is you purchase more parks, parkland, or...
Yes, but sometimes we get the opinion that, oh, we're helping the schools, we're helping, but we're not really,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
in some
yeah,
cases we are, the seams are, but if you have 20 kids in a classroom and the capacity for the classroom is 35, they're just going to put 15 more kids in the classroom.
Right, in which case you don't. But, when I was at Fife, the one school district said, was the only school district, they had a zero amount impacting for multifamily development. And it was just a matter of they based theirs on historical development. And so because there was no multifamily development being built in the last few years, it went down to zero because they couldn't say there was an impact on multifamily development because they didn't have any. And then council was going, can you say zero? And then all of a sudden, some new multifamily development got built, and it just went way back up. And so, yeah, things changed. Can change very quickly.
Yeah, and because enrollment dropped in the last couple of years, they sunk below the point where they could ask.
Legally.
There is the formula for calculating school impact fees is like this. You could ask Ralph about it, but.
All of that big money at times zero.
Right?
Equals zero.
Exactly.
I think Ralph Park's impact fee actually went down too, this is last year. I thought it was maybe from 2400 down to 17. So, that goes up and down.
You're the media count, man.
Anyway, well, the high school was
there's more animals than kids in Seattle.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, the high school
so
dropped like 200 or 300 students. So.
So the main thing is that we'll bring this back, and you know, you're going to expect some, just based on the legislation historically, you'll expect some maybe divergent opinions being expressed too. So when we get to that point, we're ready to go. And we need to get this out of here to the council, so the council can take action by September 1. I think we go through it fairly quickly.
Yeah.
So.
It seems so simple, but what happens if we don't do it by then?
You know, that's a great question. I don't know.
We don't want to find out.
No, let's just knock it out. All right.
That's it.
That's it. On to a discussion by commissioners and staff. I think it starts with you.
Oh, so I think the main thing I just want to point out is for those of you that know Melissa Place and our staff, she's actually leaving to take a position at Lake Stevens. So this is her last week here. So, and Wednesday might be her last day, so I just want to shoot her an email.
I thought I saw a job posting too. Is where you
that was it. That was it. So
senior
planner position. So yeah, we're just somewhat back to where we were last year. We're down staff person. We have a lot of development going on. So we're trying to move some of this through as quickly as we can. We'll see how fast we can respond.
Are you going to replace her?
So we don't pay as well as Lake Stevens, is that it?
Well, where does she live?
It's going to be closer to Lake Stevens.
Yeah.
So I think
I can't imagine the commute was all that killer from Lake Stevens to here.
No, Smoky Point.
Oh, she lives in Smoky Point?
Yeah, she lives in Smoky Point.
Like.
Well, from there, it's probably 45-minute drive.
Really?
In the morning, yeah.
It's way easier to go to Lake Stevens.
Yeah, I think an hour back in your day, that's 2 hours probably. Yeah, a little more. So, that's what that ad was for. Let's see, what else was going on? That, and she was also the one working in, I'll still maybe bring it to the next meeting. She was working on some revised maps showing kind of the projects going on in the city. So that, some things kind of stopped for a little bit, but I'll bring that maybe to the next meeting. We're actually moving for something I thought was pretty nice. Let's see, I think you had a question about Turning Place at the last meeting.
I'm always curious where it's at.
Hopefully.
It's on the lights, the standards going into the light.
Yeah, actually, things are really well. And then on our website, there's kind of a project, a Turning Place project update on there, so you can take a look at there and see what's going on. And
I've seen the signs for a public something or other. Park Place Middle School?
Right, so there's a, Park Place Middle School is, it's the, I'm not sure what the right word to say, it's like rebuilt. So during the course of the next 3 summers, parts of it are going to be demolished and they're going to be doing construction. And so the signs, they actually need a variance from parking requirements. And I forgot the calculations, so don't quote me, but based on our code, which we need to look at, they have a parking requirement, I think, of about 700 parking spaces. Which
for
is about as high as I've ever seen anyone for a middle school.
Because of all those driving students.
Yeah, it's our code, concerned
like
uses, 50 I'm not
teachers.
Sure.
Well, the only day they need that is on band concert nights.
And then part of their, part of the athletic field that they're going to rebuild is actually in a critical area buffer. So they need to apply for a critical area exception, public agency exception for critical area ordinance for that. So that's what those signs are for.
They bring in the dozers and just plow it over.
And then The other item, we still have not heard anything about Eastern Rock from the Growth Management Hearing Board. They verbally indicated at the hearing in January that they would issue the decision March 3rd. And so we're pushing...
10 days?
We are pushing almost, yeah, to almost getting close to 2 weeks. So they're just, I think they're just busy. You can check their website and see all these other decisions and orders they're making. They're just busy. So, and you know, people, the first couple of days, people kept calling up and saying, because, you know, the Chris at the monitor is like, you know, have issued a decision, and other people have issued a decision, and I just said, I'm not going to forget to contact you when it happens. So, when it does happen, when it does happen, we'll let you know. But so if you're not hearing anything, know. It's not because I forgot.
Yeah. Wait, what? I found out all about Eastman.
Yeah, so if you don't hear anything, it's not like we forgot. We're just,
it wasn't a big deal at all.
It's just we haven't heard anything. And then, let's see, I won't go into specifics, but yeah, you know some of the status of some of the commissioners, so two commissioners will probably be out for. Well, one's taking the classes, so I hope they'll be back this second meeting in April. And
so you're saying no one can miss?
Well, we're just going to be close, so.
How far does it have to be here?
We do have spring break coming up.
Yeah, so I guess I would ask you to think ahead, and if you really, you don't have to do it tonight, but if there's some meetings in the next, let's just say 2 months from now, that you really think you're going to miss, we're not expecting you to be here just because to be here, but if you really think there's something you're going to miss, give Tina a call, let her know.
All right.
That's it.
Commissioner Jensen?
Nothing else.
Commissioner Ball?
Nothing else.
Commissioner Stanger?
Good, thank you.
We have a Parks Board meeting this week, so I think I already told you what happened this time. Have anything else? All right, so I guess we will. Oh, I need a motion. Adjourn the meeting?
Did I move to adjourn?
There, a second? All right, motion made by Commissioner Jensen and seconded by Commissioner Stanger. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes 4-0.
Thank you.
Good job.
The end.
Yeah.